Today on The Grave Talks, The Haunted Beeson Manor and the Spirits That Remain, a conversation with Ken Greer. Ken and Catherine Greer recently purchased the historic and undeniably haunted Beeson Mansion in Niles, Michigan. Built in 1847 by a local whiskey distiller, this stately home was sold to attorney Strother Beeson, who left his mark in an unusual way by erecting a crypt for his mother right across the street from the mansion. In time, others joined his mother in the afterlife and in the crypt. Local legend has it that Strother's daughter-in-law, Harriet, was so grief-stricken by the loss of her infant son that she continued to visit him nightly in the crypt. Today, Ken and Catherine plan to transform this incredible mansion into a haunted bed and breakfast. But as rumors of sobbing apparitions and flickering lanterns in the crypt suggest, they may have some spirited guests to accommodate. Guests that checked in over a century ago and have never checked out. Today on The Grave Talks, The Haunted Beeson Mansion, a conversation with owner Ken Greer. So Ken, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today about the Beeson Mansion. It's quite incredible. It's in Niles, Michigan. How did you and your wife end up with this incredible home?
Well, it's kind of a funny story. We had purchased an apartment about 3 years ago, and we had just finished remodeling the last unit. So the wife had come in and said, well, now that we finished remodeling the apartment, are you ready for our next project? I'm like, oh, no, I'm done. No, I just
want to work.
Yeah. And then she goes, but it's haunted. And I was working from home, and I just turned in my chair and looked at her. I go, is it the Haunted Beeson Mansion? Because the day before, I was talking to a guy at work, and we had just gone to the Michigan Paracon a couple weeks before, and I was showing him, talking to him about it and showing some pictures. And he goes, oh, I didn't know you were, you know, that into this. I knew you watched the shows like I do, but have you ever been to the Haunted Beeson Mansion? You go, I'm not even sure where that is. He goes, oh, it's right in Niles on Bott Street. I go, I'm 2 miles away. I'm sure I've driven past it. But I hadn't. All of my, you know, searching of Michigan haunted places never really brought it up because no one's really investigated. So just the day before, I was talking to him about this, and then the wife brings that up. So it was kind of a nice, weird coincidence.
Isn't it?
So we called our real estate agent, and we were walking through it at 3 o'clock.
That's crazy.
This is back in August, and we put in an offer on it. And it had been listed for about 3 weeks. No one else had really put an offer in. But between the time we put in our offer and later in the day, they got another offer. And they said, well, at this point, we want to, you know, give it the weekend and wait. We'll have a final on Monday for any other offers. Unfortunately, 4 other people jumped in. And when it came down to it, they went with another offer. So we were kind of out of the running. But things just seem to take longer than they should have. And we're talking a month and a half, and it still hadn't closed and still said pending. So we had our real estate agent talk to the listing agent. He goes, well, it's not looking real good. I think this one might fall apart. So have your clients get a better offer ready. So as soon as we heard the word that it had kind of fallen apart, we gave another offer. And I don't know if they really shopped around for any more offers, because within like 2 days, they said, yeah, go ahead. It's yours.
That's weird. It's like it was meant to be yours.
It definitely, some of the hurdles, yeah, kind of cleared themselves out.
Now, when you first got to the mansion and you toured it, like I looked at the pictures on Zillow.
Mm-hmm. And they always think it's slightly better pictures than.
Isn't that the truth? I found that when I was looking for a house. I walked into a couple expecting one thing. I'm like, this is not like the pictures were at all. But you can see
like some quality,
like,
to it.
You can see what was put into this house originally is incredible. You know, this grand staircase. There's one room, I don't know if it's a library maybe or something, where the ceilings are this amazing wood. And it's just, it's quite incredible. You can see back in the day, that would have just been breathtaking.
If you're looking at Zillow, the red room is the living room. It's got the tray ceilings.
Yes.
And if you look at the fireplace, that's all, it's got to be like copper, but it's all metal, the entire frame of it. And it's a big 3 foot wide fireplace.
And this is a big home. It's like 5,500 square feet or something like that?
It's actually closer to 3,600.
Okay.
And we're still looking for that seventh bathroom.
Is there supposedly a seventh bathroom in there?
I think that's what was listed.
Okay. That's funny.
Yeah, there was an extra bedroom and an extra bathroom listed and an extra fireplace. But no, there's four bedrooms upstairs, and each one of them has an attached bath.
Or do you think the bathrooms were added later?
Done up there. Yeah, I'm sure there was some, especially the bathrooms, you know, back in the 1800s.
They wouldn't have had that.
No. But eventually we'll fix that and turn it into a haunted B&B.
I was going to ask, what's the end game? Do you want to move into it? But a haunted B&B would be awesome.
Within the next couple of weeks, we'll be moving in. We have remodeled it was the library in the pictures shown. So it's got one wall of built-in glass shelf bookcase.
Now, do you do this work, you and your wife, Catherine, do you do this work yourselves?
As much as we can. We don't mess around with the plumbing if it's a more complicated job than switching out a toilet or faucet. When we first got it, 0 out of 6 toilets worked. So we had our plumber replumb the bathrooms on the first floor. There's kind of a master bath off of that library, which we have turned into our bedroom. And then there's like a half bath powder room on the first floor. So we've got the first floor. Now we have two bathrooms. The kitchen had been remodeled recently enough, so it was up to date. That was the only sink that worked in the entire building for a while.
Had it been sitting there empty for a while? If none of the bathrooms or toilets were working, it makes me think nobody had been living in there.
Know for sure that the electric and the gas was turned off in July. The sad history of it is that the previous owner owned it about 10 years. We don't think he lived there long. He liked to collect things and go to auctions, and he was also into cars, so he liked to buy and think he was going to fix up cars. They weren't, you know, vintage Mustangs and cool Camaros. They were like old Tempos, old Ford Fiestas that had needed an axle. So the neighbor behind the property, he has a 6-unit apartment building that is actually built inside of what used to be the Beeson Barn. It was big enough, they turned it into a 6-unit apartment building.
And that was the barn?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. They turned that into apartments.
Yeah, definitely. We always thought it was like a barnminium. We didn't know it was
barnminium.
Until we talked to the owner. But every time he would like haul in a scrapper, a car, that guy would call the township and they'd come out and tell him, you can't do that here. So he ended up buying a like $1 million property 2 towns over. And you could see like on the Google map image that it absolutely beautiful. It had a big fountain, big swimming pool. And within, you know, eight, nine years of him owning it, the entire backyard is just a car graveyard.
Oh, that makes me so sad.
I know.
Well, because when I looked at the pictures of it, it just looks like, even from the outside, and now what you've told me kind of makes sense, because it doesn't look like people had kept up with the landscaping and the trimming of trees and things like that.
No, it was let go.
And if it's full of cars and stuff, you know, that's not the guy who's going to be making sure that the landscaping looks nice.
Right.
Let's just be real. And the house itself has a very interesting history, and there's local legend that is associated with the house. Now, total truth, I'm not sure. You know, it's always hard to tell. We all have those houses in our communities that stories get around.
Right.
But there is a lot of tragedy also, it seems like, associated with the house, and sadness, and people who die young.
It was built by a whiskey distiller in like 1847. In about 1853, Strother Beeson bought it. He was a lawyer in Niles. So him and his mother lived there. And he had a son that got married. His name was William was son's name. And there's several Williams and there's several Jobs. There was more than one Job. Yeah, so Strother's son, William, married Harriet Bacon. They got married in 1867. And May of 1869, they had little Job, a boy. And unfortunately, he died at 11 months old in April of 1870. The death certificate says it's from teething. So more than likely, he came down with some kind of infection.
Yeah.
Strother's mother died right around that time also, and that's when they started constructing the crypt. And it has her name, Judith Beeson, engraved across the top of the door, above the door.
It looks like in pictures, now I might be looking at this incorrectly, but if you look out the front of the house, is the crypt right across the street?
What's weird is the opening to the short walled area of the crypt, the doorway to the fenced in area doesn't line up with the middle or the crypt. It lines up with the door of the house.
Okay.
So yes, it is exactly across the street.
Wow.
It was donated to the township back in the late 60s by some of the last descendants. And they were like Beeson Purdy was their name.
It's interesting because I totally have a lot of respect for him building a crypt for his mother, but it's just so odd to put it right there because every time you walk out of your house, every time you look out of your house, you see mom's crypt. And then it goes on to be other people are buried in the crypt or around it.
Yep. There's 11 people inside of the crypt and two more buried in the ground. So with it being right across the street, when Job died, Harriet, the grieving mother, would walk over there every night, light a candle, because Job was afraid of the dark, and allegedly, the story is that she would bathe him, clean him, feed him, and rock him to sleep. And she did that every night. And eventually, they actually ran a carbide gas line into the crypt so that there was a light always on. But as things happened, the body decayed, and eventually his eyes popped out. The story is that caused her to go a little insane. And that she was sent down south to an insane asylum. But as far as we can tell, that's the story. That actually didn't happen. She may have gone over there, but we don't think she was pulling him out of the tomb, the crypt. But she was going over there very frequently, probably every night. And she was actually, we believe she was pregnant when he died, because she gave birth to a daughter named Anna in 1871.
I could see for a mother to know that your little son has passed away and he's right across the street in that little building and his little body is there. That I think I would be over there every night. Even though I know he's dead, it's just the fact that his body's there and he's alone.
So close and so alone.
So I could see why she would be drawn to going over there.
And especially if she was pregnant and had another baby, holding that new baby, could have, you know, postpartum depression or something.
Because it just kind of the connection that is not going to be broken because he's just right there.
Right there.
Absolutely. And if I just go over there, I can sit with him. And that might have been all it was, just going over to sit with him. And
right.
Yep. In that grieving, well, you know, he's afraid of the dark, and I don't want him to be in the dark. I totally understand how any mother would do the same thing.
Absolutely.
But then that's where it was kind of local legend lore sort of thing. You know, did she?
We had to dig deep to find out about Anna. Not everyone posted that part of the story.
And is that the picture of, that's her on your Facebook page?
That's Harriet.
Harriet. Because she was a beautiful woman.
Right. Young.
It's a great photo of her.
We got that blown up, hand painted, and it's hanging above the sitting room fireplace.
See, I think that's lovely to acknowledge her.
And acknowledge the lady of the house. We're just caretakers for the house. We're just here to tell their story and keep the history going on.
Now, are you from that area then in Michigan?
So were you familiar
with the house, or you had driven by it?
I think she was more familiar.
Okay.
She did real estate for a couple of years, so she probably knew more about it, but I'm sure I had driven past it. I'm sure I'd seen it. I didn't look into the story behind it, though, until that day before.
Had you been in the market for a haunted house?
Absolutely not.
Did you look at Catherine and be like, have you lost your mind?
At first. Then she said it was haunted. And she says, think about it. This will be your retirement job. You can go to all the paranormal conventions. We can host ghost hunts. And I said, yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
So that is something you're interested in, separate from this house. That was an interest you'd had?
Absolutely, back to elementary school.
What was it that got you interested in the paranormal?
You know, I'm not sure. I definitely remember seeing an older man walk down the hallway when I was younger, but that was probably around kindergarten age. And I remember, checking out books about Bigfoot at that time or before, pretty much as soon as I could read. Those were the kind of books I was checking out at the public library. Always been interested in it. It's easier to find where a ghost is haunting than it is to go out and try and find a UFO. So,
well, that's true.
Yeah.
So did you start, because I think I was the same way. I was very interested in it. I'd had experiences. I read a lot about it. I never really, as I got older, I didn't really want to experience it again. I'm fascinated by it, but I really didn't want to have, I still to this day, I could go the rest of my life and not have hear, hopefully I won't hear footsteps in my house and knocking at the door and stuff like that.
Sure.
But
it kind of depends on what kind of experiences you've had.
Yeah. And so, but you kind of searched that out.
Yeah. My fear was that it wasn't going to be haunted enough.
Oh, and that's interesting.
That fear has been dispelled.
So it's definitely haunted enough.
About 2 weeks after we bought it, we said we need to spend the night here. And if we don't have a toilet, we got an RV that we parked there. So we could run out there if we needed a toilet. And at 10:30, we heard walking upstairs, pacing back and forth, which probably was Harriet's room because it's the larger bedroom upstairs. And those were the windows that she was seeing looking out at the crypt. They would see her either standing in the windows, sitting and rocking, or there'd be light on. So that's a common occurrence that people have reported. So that room, we heard pacing, just three, probably like four steps, pause for a second, and they would start back up, back and forth. And it did that until 1 o'clock. And you could tell it was like our soled shoes, women's heels.
So, and that was right off the bat, you're hearing that sort of thing.
Yep.
So you being interested in this, did you like immediately go into investigative mode?
we had our first ghost hunt last Saturday, and until then, I hadn't brought out the equipment and investigated hardly at all. I haven't even done really baselines. We turned on the K2 downstairs and turned on an obelisk, and we had put like we have a dead bell. That's a newer device, I think. And it's just like a hotel lobby bell, but it has a knob that turns it on, and it's an EMF sensor, kind of like a REM pod.
Oh, I saw a video that it must have been Catherine had it in the kitchen,
right.
Maybe?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw the video on the Facebook page.
Yeah, and that was in the kitchen, and there's two electric stoves nearby, but that's really it. So, and there's no, you know, using devices, there's no EMF in that area. And both the obelisk and the bell have gone off in that area. Two stories that kind of relate to that kitchen. I'm not sure how far back, but one of the previous owners had just gotten home from work. He was getting some food out of the refrigerator. And he had a teenage daughter that used to babysit. And as he's getting his food out of the refrigerator, a little boy says, "I want ice cream." And he goes, "Okay, wait here." And he goes to yell up the stairs, "One of your kids is down here and he wants ice cream. You need to watch him better." He turns around and, of course, the kid's gone. And the daughter comes out and says, "I'm not babysitting anyone today."
And that's how plain as day that was.
Absolutely. Heard it, saw it, didn't think anything of it. I'm not sure how far back it was, but it probably was not, you know, it was before the previous, so 12, 15 years probably. And then another story is that while it was listed, someone was going on a tour with their real estate agent, and they had a little three-year-old. The three-year-old started crying and kind of screaming and pointing in the kitchen and saying, "Baby, baby's crying, baby." They couldn't calm the kid down, and they pretty much had to leave.
Now, my guess is there's been a lot of stories that have gone around over the years, too, that's the haunted house, because when I Googled it, I found stories like that. It was like, This is our haunted house in Niles, Michigan. And a lot of people hadn't been in it before. They're just writing stories about it. So sharing, you know, stories about Harriet. But I think it's interesting that you buy it and you immediately get some activity in it.
I was surprised too. I've been to, you know, Waverly Hills, and there's been it there four times, and there's been, you know, two nights that it was nothing really happened.
And you're not always, you know, we all know it just isn't going to turn on and turn off,
right?
Because you want it to. But right. Now that you're in a house like this, have you lived in a haunted house before? It kind of sounds like maybe when you were a kid, a man that you saw in the hall.
I don't remember any other experiences other than seeing the man in the hall once or twice. So nothing really stands out as being haunted to me.
So this is going to be kind of a cool experience for you.
Definitely. We definitely don't get any malicious or dark intent. So I think they are still a little nervous about having us there. So they're staying back a little bit. But they're peaceful and pleasant, I believe.
Are you one of those people who can feel it too?
Oh, not really. A little bit. I can tell when it's not there.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so.
Right.
It just feels different. I don't even know how to explain that.
Just kind of a heaviness or a little bit of electricity in the air. The wife's a little more sensitive to that kind of stuff.
Now
she doesn't really see things, but she can kind of tell, feel.
So you said just had your first paranormal investigation there. How did that go?
It went really well. We had eight people. Because of the weather, we had to postpone the original scheduled date. So a couple people had to reschedule. Of the eight, two of them I had been in a ghost hunting group with previously. So I knew that they were experienced and they had their own equipment. And the one lady is more psychic than me or the wife. She definitely didn't feel anything negative. And she picked up a couple names. She did pick up a young spirit. But throughout the night, I had extra K2, so most people had a K2. And we were getting K2 hits throughout the entire house. Pretty much, it would light up when you were asking a question. It'd light up and stop, and it wasn't like a random light up. It was pretty specific and deliberate. Then we also had some activity on the obelus. I don't know if any of the words were related to what we were asking. It was more, that's a little more random, I think, until they get to use it, get to figure out how the dictionary works. But they were definitely touching it and making it go off. And then same thing with that dead bell. We had first seen that in Ashmore Estates, like in the summer. And that was most activity that happened there was someone had just gotten the bell. It was like there was kids running around and running by and dinging it, and they kept running. You didn't really hear them running, but it wasn't like they were sitting there going ding, ding, ding. But every couple minutes, ding.
Well, the video that's on the Facebook page, your wife's asking questions, and it seems to ding in response to her.
Exactly. Yep. And we were up in Harriet's room, and we had the bell and then a cat ball on the table. The cat ball wasn't moving, but it was lighting up, and then the bell would ring as we were asking questions, which is really cool because you're getting like a confirmation of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I had laid out cat balls upstairs just and, marked where they were. None of them had moved previously, so I don't even know if they realized it was there until maybe it lit up. Who knows?
And that wraps up part one of our conversation with Ken Greer about the Haunted Beeson Mansion. For more information, just search Haunted Beeson Mansion on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, then you can become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you could also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you so much for listening.